The information presented in this podcast is not intended for the treatment or prevention of disease or any medical condition, nor is a substitute for medical advice. The information contained herein in this podcast reflects only the opinion of the author and presenter and is in no way considered required practice.
Welcome to Motivation and Muscle, the podcast that connects your brain to your brawn.
To Motivation and Muscle streaming radio 24/7. Go out to motivationmuscle.com, download the two free ebooks, Top 10 Ways to Build Mind and Muscle, and our 30-day ebook, where it was the first time I've ever done conventional lifts with some power rack work. So you got to check that out. And in the middle of the week, you're getting sandbag work, and it's pretty interesting stuff. It'll definitely get you in shape if you want to do some stone lifting, for sure. So check that out. Go out to motivationmuscle.com/category/podcast. We got our good friend Jed Johnson. This will be the first time he's been on this year. Like a lot of people, the business is very stressed right now. Obviously building equity, and we're in the middle of some big things that are going to be released in 2 weeks. So we're pretty much pinned every day. And I can't do 9 to 15 shows anymore. At least I'm not going to do them anymore anyways. Business has got to come first, because if we don't have any equity, we don't stay in business. And that's just a fact of life for anybody that hasn't explored the possibilities of that yet. So go out there, check the shows out. We've got close to 700 podcasts almost, and we've only been up a little over 2 years. So we are really just romping, you know, as they say. The tank is moving, and it just keeps going and going. So that's what we're up to there. Before I bring Jed in, I'm going to give you the subject, but before I bring him in, everybody knows how we're reading a lot of excerpts now out of different books, and a lot of people really like this. I like it too. I think it's, well, you know, we call ourselves Motivation Muscle here, and really the idea is to motivate, to make yourself better, to go after these big goals, to attain them, to take the failures, to take the successes, and basically just keep getting yourself better. And it influences everything. We know that. We talk about it. But I just feel at this point, with everything I see going out in the world, especially right now, we need this type of influence more than ever, and especially kids. They're getting fed a lot of crap, man, everywhere. And we're not trying to be their parents, but I mean, I think it's just a good positive direction to be bringing people and let them know they are a little bit more than what they're told. And I think that is very valuable all over. So I'm going to read one of my favorites out of John Wooden's book. It's called A Lifetime of Observations and Reflections on and Off the Court. It's Coach John Wooden with Steve Jamison. And I love this little bit right here. It's called The Opinion of Others. Do not become too concerned about what others may think of you. Be very concerned about what you think of yourself. Too often we care more about a stranger's opinion of us than our own. Your opinion of yourself begins on the inside with your character. What do you believe in, and are you willing to stand up for it despite what others may think or say? It's what my dad meant when he said, be true to yourself. This comes first, then the opinion of others. I'm going to read that again to you. It's what my dad meant when he said, be true to yourself. This comes first, then the opinion of others. And as my dad said, and you know, he's not with me in a physical sense, but I hear it in my ear all the time, and we say it at the end of the show, is be a leader, not a follower. Real important. I'm going to give you a little information on Jed, and then we're going to bring him in. Number one, he's a speaker, performing strongman, and he's 3-time national grip strength champion. I don't think I said in the beginning, but we're going to talk about his grip world record, and it's going to funnel right into the psychological edge, because we know everybody loves to talk about the mind and all that stuff, but sometimes there's some different things we do, and I know from my own experiences, sometimes I just don't analyze it. I just go in and destroy it, or it destroys me. Jed, welcome back. Happy New Year. Good to have you back, my friend.
Yeah, man. Thanks a lot for having me. I actually missed talking with you. We got into a pattern where we were talking quite frequently before, and then it's been a while since we were on the phone. So been missing you, man.
Well, same here. And, you know, it's I've had a lot of people inquire, you know, what's going on? How come, you know, we're not doing shows? And as everybody knows here, you know, we are asking for donations, but everything's stretched pretty thin right now, and we are doing everything possible to keep this place rolling because it's a big nut for the show every month, and then obviously I have to pay people to build, you know, pages and put the stuff together, and I have a big meeting after Jed and I get off the air for all the launching, and I have a big meeting tonight with a gentleman that wants to work with me on some things with the show. We've had people offer that would like to bring the show on their network. There's a lot of stuff going on here, a lot of decisions, and everything, as Jed knows and I know, it's going to cost money. So, you know, nothing against Jed or anybody. That's not the way we work here. But they know. They've all been in that, and they're still in it, and they understand we will be back rolling even harder, and we are. But it's just, and I can't do vocally anymore 9 to 15 shows. It's going to just, I've done that for almost 3 years. And sooner or later, you are going to pay vocally with it. But you know what? The whole idea of this is just to be hard charging. You run towards your dream. You don't run away from it. And that was the thing from the very beginning here. I said, and I still mean it, we will be the biggest podcast show of millions of listeners by the time I'm done with this. And it's going to happen sooner than later. But the more money we can churn, the more stuff we can put out, the more joint projects we can do, and obviously the solutions. And as I said in the beginning, we got some people out there need our help, and we need to do that. So Jed, let's get into obviously the big grip world record you had and did. So let's talk about that. You know, go into it, explain it to everybody. You know, who you beat, if you want to name names, and we'll get right into, that's going to flow beautifully into the psychological edge, if you would, please.
Yeah, man, I appreciate that. Yeah, what I did recently was I set a world record on the Silver Bullet,
okay,
which is a tool from Iron Mind.
Yep.
And specifically, what you do is you take your gripper and you close this little chunk that is the silver bullet in between the handles and hold it there for time.
Yep.
And then hanging from the silver bullet is a 2.5 kilogram disc. So it's like 5.5 pounds or so.
Yep.
And you hold it there for time. You're supposed to, you're not allowed to have any contact between your hand and the bullet or your finger and the bullet. It's supposed to be just gripper handle down on the bullet. And you're supposed to keep it straight up and down. And so a little bit of history on the event. Prior to this, it was always the number 3 gripper that was used for this measure. And they just started this year in January at a contest that Ode Haugen ran, running it with a number 4. So they established something which I've never heard of this before, but they called it a world standard, and one guy was able to get a legal hold of 5.8 seconds or something like that.
Wow. Yeah.
Yeah. It was Clay Edgin.
Which okay.
You probably know who
yes.
he is.
Yes, I do. Yep.
Yeah, he's a fantastic, very powerful grip guy and multi-talented, you know, very mm-hmm. strong in multiple parts of multiple strength endeavors. So once I saw that, I already had a contest scheduled for February 18th, and I was already planning on running the 3.5 gripper and the 3, and I was going to have everyone attempt a heavier gripper and then the lighter gripper. But once I saw that they were now running contests with the number 4, I modified that and began training with the number 4. And I was able to get 15.32 seconds, I believe.
Wow.
For the world record on that.
Awesome.
So, yeah. So what you have to do with this for the official record, I mean, anybody can hold the the event in their grip contest, but you have to have brand new grippers from Iron Mine in order for the records to be official.
Gotcha.
So, yeah. So in the past, I've held the number four longer with the silver bullet.
Okay.
But it was always with like a non-current gripper.
Okay.
It wasn't a brand new gripper. So this was 15.32 seconds with a brand new gripper, following everything as strict to the letter of the law as possible.
Yep.
And man, it was so hard, dude. I really had to focus. It was something that, like, in training,
yeah,
you know, one time I would get like 10 seconds, the next time I'd get like 3 seconds.
Yep.
So it was something where I knew I had to be really focused in and really do everything perfectly in order to get my maximum time, because they said the world standard had to be exceeded by at least 5 seconds in order for the world record to count. So I knew I had to get like 10, 11 seconds.
Wow.
And so they were counting off while I was holding. People were counting off every 5 seconds. And then when I knew that I had 11, 12 seconds, someone shouted that it was a new record, and I just squeezed even harder.
That's beautiful.
15.32. So I was happy with it, but then upon looking at the video, I noticed that you're allowed to brace your arms on the set, and I didn't do that. I just went with a regular grip sport set where you don't brace your elbows on your lower body.
Yep.
And I think I just would have been able to conserve a little bit of energy if I would have done that. So
Jed, you know from doing this stuff and being an expert with it, it's like you expect more out of yourself and you want to hold it longer, but I mean, hey, you set a record, number one, and now you can always come back another day and hold it longer. You know what I mean? You know what I want to ask you too, and we know this from regular training with weights and whatever we're going to use. Because I think I know I'm going to hear from somebody, and I have a feeling what you're going to say, but I want to hear it from your mouth because it's very important too. Now, at one point you're holding it for X number of seconds, you come back and hold it for 4 seconds the next day or whenever you're doing it. So there is a pronounced drop in your strength for that day. Now, you and I both know the big word of the day all the time now is recovery, recovery, recovery. I think it's a little bit overblown, like a lot of things, but that's my opinion. When you're training for an event, and it's something, you know, obviously we know grip is your forte. Mm-hmm. What are we doing? Like, all right, say you're, you know, we know you love messing with the Thomas Inch globes and all those, and those are killer. Tell everybody, are you training the next day with a lighter one, or what are you doing to bring your hands back? Is there something specific? I understand that sometimes we don't want to tell all of our secrets and stuff, but tell people out there that maybe are going to now emulate what you're doing. They look up to you. They like the sound of what we're talking about and say, hey, you know what? I want to get into this, but how am I going to bring my hands back? Or obviously we know they can contact you, but what's just kind of a rule of thumb to get yourself back, whether you hold it for as much or not?
Yeah. So as far as going from like one day, like my like working on the number four to the next day, working on something lighter. No, never done that.
Okay.
If anything, I'll do something totally different just to promote blood flow and mobility and things along those lines. You know, some self massage.
Yep.
Things along those lines.
Okay.
I last year I was able to get these tools called Hawk grips.
Okay.
Which they kind of look like butter knives.
Really?
They're stainless steel. They have, what do you want to call it? They have like texture that is, you know, built into them with the design so that you can hold onto them. And, you know, they're actually called soft. Oh man, it's basically mobility for the fascia.
Yep.
What they actually call them right now is escaping me, so I apologize. But
no, that's all right.
What I was doing leading up to the contest is I would go over my thumbs and my palms mainly in order to kind of help with recovery there. But as far as like a big protocol or like on the next day or something, no, not necessarily.
Okay.
Really, my injury prevention
yeah.
stuff I do
yep.
as part of my workouts, and I found that I'm able to keep those things away just by doing like a few key movements, and then I'm pretty much good to go.
That's awesome, because you know that's the big thing and all that, and especially with your hands. I mean, we use them for more than just lifting stuff too. So that's an awesome thing. As far as a grip world record, what else you got planned? What's coming up with you? You know, in the short, near, distant future, and just tell everybody. I mean, obviously, you wanted to go into this and win anything you go into, but the psychology. You know, like if you go out and you know, Dennis Waitley, in my opinion, was probably, he's still one of the greatest. And whenever we talk about mental things, we know all this mental conditioning. You know, he was one of the first to pioneers with it all. And what is your psychology of winning? What is going through your mind? What, share with us when you're going again. Obviously, you're a competitor. You want to win. But what's going through your head when you're getting ready to go, and you know that here is where it all lays? This is the rubber to the road, and what am I thinking about? Or are you at that point now where you're so psychologically wired that you're just walking in there and bang? So give everybody a little bit of insight what you're thinking about, Jed.
Well, I've definitely gotten pretty good as far as being able to turn it on when I need to.
Yep.
Something like, I would say, between 2010 and into 2013, I was actually very bad at, and it hurt me in some competitions.
Yep.
But, for me, it's really about, like, when I'm not training for a contest, I'm trying to bring up all aspects at all times of
yep.
everything. Thick
yep.
bar, pinching, grippers, all that stuff. Not so much bending and feet like that. I don't do too much of that anymore, and I found that it's pretty... I don't know why I keep getting notifications. I'm sure they keep going through because I already shut them off.
That's all right. Don't worry about it.
But what I try to do throughout the year is get as strong as possible on all of the different disciplines.
Yep.
And then once I get out about 6 weeks from a competition, then I cut out some of the extra stuff.
Okay.
I'll cut out things like, you know, feeting with block weights
mm-hmm.
and things like that. I'll go more into maintenance mode on that
mm-hmm.
stuff.
Okay.
And I'm able to put more of my attention and emphasis on the contest events. I think one of the problems that people run into is they try to focus on the contest events like all through the year, all the
yeah.
time, and
it
ends up causing burnout.
Yep.
So, nope. So I don't do that anymore. I used to, but I don't do that anymore. And then, generally about a week to 2 weeks before then, I start with a lot of mental preparation and, you know, envisioning walking into the building and
mm-hmm.
where I'm stuff and figure all that stuff out. And then the week of previous to the competition, then I generally don't do any grip training.
Yep.
And I deload my body as well. I don't do anything like really heavy pull downs or
okay.
rows or anything like that because it taxes your hands.
Yep.
So, so that's the physical preparation and mental preparation side of it. You know, as I get closer, then, you know, everything starts getting honed down like the edge of a blade.
Yep.
And really get ready to just cut through the competition, brother.
Well, you know, and that's a big, you know, and... Let me ask you, I mean, you know, when I said sometimes you walk into things and you're so, I the word focused obviously is overused now too, but I've had things where, you know, whether you're lifting something huge with a barbell or a stone or whatever, and I've gone two different ways. I've had those points obviously where, you know, you have the vision of it. You've walked it through a number of times, you know, in your head long before you stepped up to whatever you're going to do or whatever you're going to squeeze or grab. Because everything is, you're using your hands. We know that. But I've also gone into things really not rehearsed, but yet driven in a way where I want to describe this where it makes sense to people, but I don't know if I can. It's almost like you've stepped out of your body and maybe stepped back in, and when you go after whatever it is, there's really nothing going on. I mean, obviously, you know, there's a lot of current going on through your body and your brain, but what I'm saying is I've had instances where I went and just did magnificent lifts without really being very analytical or rehearsing. And then I've done things where I have been very analytical and rehearsed and bombed them, man. So comment on that. I mean, have you experienced things like that? Or are you typically, we're going to rehearse it, we're going to go through it, we're going to deload, we're going to do the necessary steps that I feel that are going to work for me? Or have you ever got involved with something like that mentally, I'm talking about, Jed?
Yeah. Yeah, and you know, I think we've talked about in the past about how we approach lifting is also very similar to how we approach other aspects in life.
Yep.
And I think I was able to get pretty good at being able to turn it on when I needed to.
Yep.
Based on being in management where I used to work.
Yeah, gotcha.
I used to have to do a lot of things that other people in the company didn't have to do, like speaking in front of groups and being able to do things when I wasn't prepared.
Yep.
Like giving tours and stuff like that.
Mm-hmm.
You know, impromptu speeches and things like that with like higher ups in the company and things like that. So, and even back, like, you know, having to come in relief in a baseball game back when I played, those kinds of things I think were rehearsals and preparations for that kind of thing.
Yep.
And as far as like one thing you said there was where you almost step out of your body.
Yeah.
And it's like you're separate from your body.
Yep.
I've had situations like that also where weren't necessarily competitions, but they might have been just like situations where we were all training in a group and I had to, you know, I was presented with challenges to lift certain things up and I had to just get really good at saying, all right, it's time now to go ahead and do this.
Yeah.
So sometimes that means being able to do it without, you know, 100% proper warm up.
Yeah.
And, you know, maybe you don't have the best chalk, you know, layer on your hands or you're not dressed the way you'd like to be or it's really cold where you're lifting.
Yep.
And you just got to be ready for stuff. So it's been a process and I've gotten good at it. Naturally, I can always get better. But because like I said, I didn't use the most efficient set when I set that record, but I was still able to get the record just based on the preparation that I did do. So.
Yeah, no, and I agree with that because, and you know, the thing you always hear, and I think there's so much validity to it, is experience is your best teacher. I've had people disagree with me. Oh, you got to train this, and you got to be with this guy or this gal, or watch YouTube till your eyeballs fall out. I got news for you. It's not going to matter because, you know, you and I both know when you step up to the podium, no matter what it is, and I'm just using that metaphorically, it's going to come down to you and what can you do and what have you done. And you know, preparation is everything. I mean, and I like the idea when you're talking impromptu, because where I really learned this from, I thought initially when I started way back when, and I'm always going to be a fan of him, and I think he was truly probably, if not the best, he was 1-2, was the great Paul Anderson. How many times did you see, and you know what else, Jed? If you look at a lot of the pictures back in the 50s or Muscle Beach, and I'm not talking the way things are now. I'm talking when these guys could do gymnastics, they could do Olympic lifting and then compete on stage 2 hours later, right? I mean, these guys were developed and built. They weren't, you know, they weren't like today's stuff, whether you like it or not. But what I'm saying is, you know, you look at a lot of these guys back in the day, and I mean, they'd have a shirt and tie on, and they'd be chucking a huge dumbbell over their head. Or I've got pictures of like Anderson, you know, squatting. I mean, the guy looks like he probably did. He probably just went to church, and there he is in like patent leather shoes, and he's squatting like monster, 900 plus pounds. And you made the other comment, which is definitely the sign, I believe, and I'm going to give you a big compliment here, is a sign of a great lifter. And I'll tell you why, and then I'll shift right back to you. When you can go into things and you've built your body in a way where you can take about a maximum weight almost with no warm-up, that's an incredible athlete to me. Because we're ever told is, you know, think about the old cliche. Well, I warm up. Let's just use the squat or the deadlift, for instance. And, you know, we'll go with the squat usually because you hear this more. Yep, warm up, 135. 225, 315, so we don't know where they're going from there, but, you know, then we'll go 405. There's no proof that warms you up. I don't believe it does. I've done so many different body weight things that warm me up way better. And my good friend John McKean, who I talk to regularly, and he wrote, he's all over the place, all around lifters. I think he's just turned 70, but he used to do a lot of great articles in the old hard gainer, Stuart McRoberts' book. And I can remember he's one of the main ones that got me really turned on to the body weight squat pull-ups, the long strength good mornings, and heavy hands. And that was a lot off with his studying with Leonard Schwartz, who was a monster, man. I mean, this guy was lean. He was an MD. He wrote Heavy Hands, the book. Incredible stuff. And, you know, you could literally go in at about 90 to 93% of your max because you were just fired and your blood was sky high and away you went. And that's when you struck that chord in me that, you know, I have to do things and I can't always warm up. Hey, you know, when I go to Iceland again, there's not really any warm up to pick up a 418-pound stone, brother. It's like you better be damn prepared. You can walk around that sheep pen. You can lift smaller stones. Not going to do a damn bit of difference. Maybe you can bring a cable with you and warm up like that. The difference is you are going to have the psychological edge with rehearsal, with the work in the gym or the yard or whatever you are, and you're going to have to really buckle down hard, and you're going to have, you know, as I always say, bleed outside in the gym. Don't bleed when you go and destroy whatever it is you're going after. Do all your crying, your disappointment, all those things when you're training. And that's all part of getting ready for anything. Anybody that tells you they don't go through a million things when they're getting ready for something big, they're lying to you. Because if they aren't, they're robotic in nature and they're not going to get it probably anyways. But that's what I'm saying about the impromptu is very, very important. And you have to be a very special type of athlete, and we're just going to leave it to lifting, to be able to do something like that. So comment on anything I said there, my friend.
Well, just to maintain consistency with what I tell everybody, I wouldn't necessarily get in the habit of lifting, you know, your top level performance without a warm up.
I agree.
I think that could be hurt over the long run. But
sure.
You know, sometimes it is necessary.
Yep.
Sometimes you don't get the optimal warm up, so you got to kind of be ready to do what you got to do when it's time to do it. I know there's been cases where, you know, certain lifters have taken. And have waited too long to warm up, and then it like slows down the whole competition.
Yeah, I know.
Really ticks me off because everybody else was warmed up in time. But there's a balance there. Sometimes it's needed. Sometimes you should go ahead, and most of the time you should go ahead and warm up. But either way, just because you warm up properly doesn't mean you're going to be successful at what you want to do if you don't have your head straight and you don't have the mental focus that you need in order to do it. If you're just screwing around, messing around, or if you're worried about bills or, paying for something, whatever. Those are all distractions. You got to be able to separate that out, and that's something that takes time too, but it's something that you have to – you know, just be aware of, and you have to constantly try to get better at. It's just like driving.
Yeah.
You know, when you get your driver's license, they say you should always be trying to become a better driver, a better defensive driver. And as a lifter, you also have to always be trying to improve as a lifter, because there's a lot of stuff that goes into it, and it's you don't always find it in every textbook and blog article.
No. And you know something else, Jed? A lot of this stuff is BS, too. I mean, if you go by some of the ways people train, you could damage yourself permanently, if not, you know, indefinitely. And I still think that you got to seek out people, or you're in a club, a gym. And I don't mean the typical run-of-the-mill gym. I'm talking about somewhere that's got quite a bit of an edge to it. Or you meet up with people, or like I always say, you know, I have people say to me, well, I don't want to walk up to that guy. He's big and blah, blah, blah. I said, you know what? The majority of these people are some of the nicest people you ever meet. I'm like, if you want something bad enough, you just might have to walk up to that guy and ask him, say, hey, I admire what you do. I'd like to learn it, or can you point me the right place, because I'm totally lost. I guarantee you 9 out of 10 people will help you out. You're always going to get that 1% of somebody that's just going to give you one of those looks, and it's like, okay, I got it. And that right there, see, you know, when we talk about psychological edge especially, this is just like building your body. And this is where we come. This is where we have that big head-on collision with things. Is this? None of this stuff is just going to happen overnight. And I know you and I have talked about this before, but I can't reiterate this enough, because it is so important. And not enough people either understand it, or they're lazy, or they just don't want to get it. Is this? This is going to take you years and decades, if you're in, and I'm talking, you got to be really into this stuff, whether you're competing, you're a non-competitor, you know, as I always say, you want to be the biggest guy walking in the neighborhood, you want to be able to help people that really want help, whatever it is that drives you. But you know from doing this for a long, long time, you didn't have a mental set the minute you walked into a gym. These were things you had to learn, man. This is the whole beauty of life. You know, as my chiropractor, John Ridge, always said, you know, we'd be talking, he'd always say to me, Eric, that's life. You know, and there's a lot to just those few words. And I want you to comment on this. I mean, and you know, Jed, we got a lot of younger listeners here now that are contacting the show. And I do believe that we furnish the best stuff out there material-wise, and just the way we all work together. But, and this is what I'm looking more now towards in the future, is we can educate everybody. I don't care who you are. But now that we've got a lot of the younger kids coming in here, let's kind of break it down for them right now the way you would talk. Well, you got a young daughter. I mean, I'm sure you're talking to her all the time about things. I got nieces and nephews. I mean, I got my little 6-year-old nephew, Danny, lifting an 8-pound and a 12-pound sandbag and walking with him. So I love bearing that stuff down to him, and I've said this on the last few shows. Every time I see Danny, I say to him, Danny, when you're 13 years old, you're going to deadlift 500 pounds. And every time we do it, we stand together, and whether we got some type of small bar for him or we just do an invisible bar, guess what? He's already been trained. He's in the position. Every time I say that, he pulls the bar up straight. So let's comment on this stuff, Jed. All right, Danny's a little young. Obviously, he's going to need somebody right with him. But we've got the 13, 14-year-olds coming in here now. How does Jed Johnson take what he knows and we expand upon it? And let's do some teaching here, if you don't mind.
Okay, so the first thing that I talk about that is mentally related, yep, is I talk about honor, yep, in the gym.
Okay.
Okay. And what I mean by that is there's been several times where some of the young lifters that I train, mm-hmm, I tell them to do a set of 10, and they'll do a set of 8, and then they tell me that they did a set of 10.
Yeah, I know that one.
And, you know, basically, I'm assuming what's happening is they're hitting that threshold point where it's really starting to burn, and they're not comfortable doing it.
Yep.
You know, they're not comfortable working through there. So that's one of the first things is that I talk about is what you lift is what you lift.
Mm-hmm.
And should never lie about what you lift. You always should have that honor. That should be something that is safeguarded, is your honor in the weight room.
Yep.
And it doesn't work with everybody. I've still got somebody that I'm pretty sure, you know, continues to basically lie to me about what their rep counts are.
Yep.
But, you know, I think that specific person has a lot of other issues going on besides that.
Yep.
So, you know, I can only be a parent so long. Sooner or later, the parents need to be involved. Yep. But that's where I start. You know, whether that's right, wrong, or not, I mean, everybody has their own opinion. But that's where I start. And I do confront people. I do confront people. I say, are you sure that you just did a set of 10? You
know, and they know,
they know that I was watching them. So, yeah, that's where it starts for me, is the honor part, and then it goes up from there.
Yeah, well, you got to have integrity, man.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
All the thing. Go ahead.
You got to have integrity, and like we said, you know, how you lift is how you do other things too.
Yep.
You know, if you're at the basketball court and you're supposed to shoot 20 foul shots, you know, and you only shoot 10 or whatever because no one was looking.
Yep.
You know, that's on you. So there's a reason that you do each specific drill. So you got to do it right.
Yeah, and you know, so, and who's losing in the game if you're trying to pull one over on you or I or anybody else that's in this profession, you are. And they haven't figured that out yet, because, you know, let's just say you're playing on a football team and you've got all your players, your fellow athletes with you, and they've all been doing, well, I don't know, we'll just use an example, 5 sets of 5 with squats. And, you know, everybody's hopping in and out, so there's a little bit, it's a little chaotic. The coaches can only watch so many stations there. And this guy's going in and maybe he's doing 3 reps, 4 reps, 2 reps, and he thinks he's getting away with it. Now he's out on the field in the game. All his teammates have performed what they were told to do, and obviously they're right on cue. This guy gets out there and suddenly he's got the breakdown. You know, if he's smart enough to realize it, that he's not only shortchanged himself, but he's hurt his team. And if he was a man, when they're all done and he got his ass beat by somebody and it won the game for the opposing team, he would be a guy that would stand up and admit what he did and apologize to not only the team but the coaches, and really he ought to apologize to the whole school. I know a lot of these things are not done anymore, and I know why they don't do it, and it's very tragic, because if you go through life, what you're doing now in the gym, in school, in anything, I don't think a lot of people still don't understand it, is this. The world is not going to be very kind to you. I mean, everybody thinks that they're going to go from being protected in a school or whatever they're doing, and the world's like that. You know, as Rocky Balboa said in the last movie, the world will beat you to your knees and leave you there if you let it. And it will do that to you, and you're going to find very few people that are going to come to your aid and help you out. That's just a fact of life. As my great chiropractor John Ridge used to tell me all the time, if you have one good friend in your life, you're a wealthy man. And I don't want to make it sound like it's gloom and doom, but it's not, because it's not. But these are fundamentals and standards you should learn to adopt and live by. You don't have to go and squeeze the shit out of anything like Jed does. Jed loves doing that. That's his forte. You don't have to go and lift rocks like me. That you don't have to do that. But what you need to do, if you're going to participate, you need to be the best you can be. You need to back everybody on your team or in the gym that's affiliated with you. Even if you don't know them, man, go over, encourage them. Maybe they need a spotter. Maybe they need someone to tell them, hey, you know, your form's breaking down, I'm seeing this. But be constructive about it. Don't put the person down, because you're not going to get any fans like that. But Jed's right on the other hand, too, because I've done it, too. I've called people out here that come over and train. One kid, he was in tears. Well, you know what? Don't try to quit on me during the middle of something. If you don't feel good, you got an injury or whatever, pack it up and go home. But please, don't, and I repeat, don't give me a lackluster workout, because that's stuff I won't stand for. To me, you know, Jed talked about respect. I think that's full disrespect to whoever's coaching you. And that is not a way to build a long-lasting friendship, relationship, obviously a brotherhood. Go ahead, Jed. It's yours.
Well, it reminds me of a story from when I was at college. It was really early in the fall, my first fall baseball season.
Yep.
And, you know, I'm assuming that, you know, these guys are workhorses, man. The reason that they're at college playing baseball is because they work their ass off. So
yeah.
You know, every chance that I got, I was working my ass off, too. I was doing, like, extra running and stuff like that. Well, at some point, we had to do a group run where we were supposed to do, like, 3 miles mm-hmm. or something like that. Mm-hmm. Why a baseball player would ever need to run 3 miles is beyond me.
Yep.
That's
yep.
neither here nor there.
Yep.
So, you know, we start out on the same track that I was told to take, you know, when I was running by myself. And then all of a sudden, and these guys like veer off the track. This is like 12 pitchers.
Wow.
Right?
Yeah.
I was a pitcher.
Yep.
They veer off the track and they go behind these trees, and these guys start having a wrestling match. They start having like WCW
yep.
versus NWO wrestling match.
Yep.
While I'm supposed to be running. I'm like, what in the hell is going on here?
Yep.
So I'm like, you know, that totally killed any trust that I had with those people.
Yeah.
You know, I knew that they had no integrity whatsoever.
Yep.
And then it's my turn to wrestle, right?
Yeah.
So I figure we're just playing, right?
Yeah.
So I'm like given like fake punches and kicks and stuff like that. So this senior picks me up and rolls me and does like a fisherman suplex on the ground and like almost breaks my shoulder.
Jesus.
While we're out there, you know, he dropped me on like a tree root.
Yep.
Back in the,
yep.
You know what I mean? So that, like, in my opinion, that probably ruined the baseball,
yeah.
the pitching squad
yep.
for years to come. And who knows, they may have been doing that for years
yeah.
before I ever got there.
Yep.
So, you know, that's the kind of thing where, you know, I just didn't end up running with those guys anymore. I would do my own workouts because I figured, okay, these guys are half-assing it.
Yep.
That means that if I work harder, I might be able to take their spot on the team.
Yep.
Now, you know, unfortunately, I didn't have the skills necessary in order to do that.
Yep.
Hard-ass work will only get you so far when you're dealing with other people's
mm-hmm.
abilities.
Mm-hmm.
So that didn't work out, but, you know, at the same time, that's a lesson that youngsters can
yep.
take out of that, is that if some guys are not working the way that they're supposed to, and you do,
mm-hmm.
you could potentially gain from that, from their lack of effort. So
yeah.
something to remember for sure.
Yeah, and you know what? There's a right way and a wrong way to do everything. I don't care what anybody says. You know, the idea with doing the right way is whatever confronts you and maybe it's not working, you try something else. But you can always learn and build yourself into anything you want. And we don't hear that enough. I mean, I know it's coming out of your mouth, I'm sure, with your students. Same way here, same way over the airwaves here, but you know my feeling about everything here. I mean, we are going to be out in the millions, and we are going to be the standard for everything here, and that's my contention with everything. I believe this from day one, and I think we've got something very special to share with everybody out there, and I won't rest till it's done, and that's the most important thing, because, you know, if you want to have the edge, if you want to go and do things like Jed does, I mean, the guy's an all-around great lifter to boot. You know, if you want to go and lift the famous stones of Scotland, I don't know. I don't know what anybody wants to do. I only know what I hear, how things have affected a lot of people through the show, how we've got major stone lifters now that never touched it before. Nothing makes me happier. You know, I hope you all become grip experts if you're not doing it now. You know, become the best lifter you can with a barbell. It's all very important. It's all what you want to do. No one is forcing you to do anything. You decide to make that choice and be the best you can be. And if you want to do things like that, then when you walk into a meet, you are going to have the psychological edge. And you're not going to have to push yourself so hard where it's, you know, we hear the word stress, and I don't, you know, everybody needs to have stress. That's just part of living. That's life. But you know what? You're going to be able to go into something, and I'm sure Jed can attest this, you're going to have the cooler head. Cooler heads always prevail. I mean, that's something that's been said forever, but there's so much meaning to that. If you go in stalking everything, all high-pitched, high fever, I can tell you from experience, because it's happened to me, and I've seen a lot of lifters in meets, they go to do the lift, and they bomb. You know why? Mm-hmm. Because everything you had built up, wasting it on all that posturing and maneuvering. Then when you get under the bar, it's like someone went, like a vampire, went right on the side of your neck and sucked the strength right out of you. So remember that, everybody. You know, build your edge, build it out in the battlefield, and then when you walk onto the platform or the arena or the little barn where nobody goes, and there's 100 guys in there going bananas on the dirt floor, that's when you get it, man. That's when you get the respect, and that's real respect, and that's what you want to do. Don't be run-of-the-mill for anything. Be better than everybody else. That's what it's all about. Set the standard, lead by example, and as my dad always said, be a leader, not a follower. Jed, summarize everything. Put out any of your websites. I'll give my information. Hang on the line. We'll get you set up for March, and take it away, my friend.
The only thing that occurs to me to say is that for people that are new, none of this stuff comes easy.
Nope.
You know, for some people it does, but they are the few and far between exception that are just built differently from everyone else.
Yep.
You gotta understand that like 99.9% of the people, this stuff will not come easy. So whatever it is that you do, whether it's grip, stones, or any other type of training that we're talking about here, you got to understand that you have to put the time in order to accomplish what you need to. None of this comes easy. You have to put the time in, and you have to be willing to deal with some frustration sometimes.
Yep.
So,
yep.
You know, so I think some people like to paint a picture that's just not true.
I agree.
I know I've been sold on things that, you know, people were just blatantly lying.
Yeah.
You know, and yep. you don't know that when you're new or when you're the outsider. You don't realize that. But the truth of the matter is, no matter what it is, even if it's not lifting, even if it's business,
yeah,
or if it's a job, it's qualifying on something, it's a spelling contest.
Yeah.
It takes time in order to get good at stuff, and you gotta be willing mm-hmm. to take that time.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, that's the thing that was on the tip of my tongue, brother. Hopefully that fits in there.
Fits perfectly, man. I mean, you know what I say here. You're one of them. You're a steward of strength. That's the way it is. I say that all the time. You know, we are the gatekeepers, man. And, you know, along with what you said, too, is, you know, learn to practice patience. You're going to need a hell of a lot of patience to get to where you want to go if you're going to stay in this stuff. I'll say this quick. And, I mean, Jed's played sports. I have, too. And this is just me talking. If you do things right with what we do here with physical culture, and I'm talking about the true from the guys that laid the rails down, not today's version of it. It's a lifestyle. It's a belief. It's something that it could be the best thing that ever happened to you in your life. It has for me. It's been very generous to me, and I've been very generous back with it. And one thing you got to realize, if you play this right, you're going to be able to lift to the day, whether you want to be cremated, you know, dumped at sea, or you want to be put 10 feet under the ground, all right? Not many things out there in the world, including all the sports, offer you something like this, because if you look at the main athletes that play the big sports, they're so broken down and hobbled. Most of them, by the time they're 40 years old, aren't even walking right. So get into weightlifting, get into grip work, get into stone training, whatever it is you like, and make the most of it. And I hope well, I won't even say hope. I wish for you a long, long life with this. That's all I have to say. Jed, give out any of your information. I'll give mine and hang on the line, and we'll get you ready for March, sir.
All right, buddy. Thank you.
You're welcome.
My main website that I invite everybody to check out is dieselcrew.com, and my YouTube channel is my name, Jed Johnson, J-E-D-D Johnson. And I just started up my own weekly, I guess you could call it a podcast, a video cast, cool. But they're videos on YouTube.
Yep.
And it's called This Week in Grip.
I saw that. Yep. And,
yeah, we cover everything going on the Gripboard website, in grip sport in general, competitions and such. We talk about grip training and grip feats that are going online that people share on their Instagram and their YouTube and all in their Facebook and all that stuff. And then we also talk about feats of strength, stuff like steel bending and shoe bending and all that stuff. So we cover it all. Every once in a while we have a guest, and it's a rundown show, but it's just because Alan Hynek and I just love talking about grip.
Yep.
So what we're doing. So check it out and subscribe to the channel and listen to the videos. You might learn something. We download people's feats that they put up and add them to the video a lot of times, so you're able to see exactly what we're talking about, because some of this stuff, who the heck knows what these are. But, but we're able to show people what we're talking about in that way. So I've had pretty good feedback from it, so I think some of the listeners will enjoy it.
Awesome.
And I invite you to check it out.
Awesome, dude. This is Motivation Muscle Streaming Radio 24/7. Go out to motivationmuscle.com, download the two free ebooks. All we need is your email address. Obviously, go out to motivationmuscle.com/category/podcast. We'll have this up early next week. I'm really behind because we had some issues with Blueberry, but they're all fixed, and we're back on scale. We were pretty current up to about 10 days ago, but that's okay. You just overcome that. That's not a big deal. Also, too, go out to iTunes and Stitcher. Give us a 5-star review. That's what we've got from everyone. We thank you for that. Also, too, get Motivation Muscle 24/7 in your car via the AHA. That is the directory we're in. All the new cars have the capability of getting podcasting, because I would say within the next 3 to 5 years, it's going to replace radio from all the studies I've did. So we got in this at the right time. AHA is the directory. Just go in, look for Motivation Muscle, and you got us every day of the week, 24/7. Also, too, if there's a show you'd like Jed and I to do, Fiorello Barbell at NICAP.R.com, and I'll leave you with this multitude of words. Number one, if someone seeks you out in the concrete jungle or the gym, never be afraid to give them 5 words of inspiration. If you can inspire somebody, you can change their life, and that is so important. Number two, as my mom said when we were kids, never be afraid to give someone a hello or a smile. I think in today's world, it's even more important to do that. There's an awful lot of people I see walking with their head down and they can't even make eye contact with you anymore. That's an awful thing to feel like that. Number three, if you're going to lift it, bend it, break it, twist it, squat it, push it, pull it, and if you're going to lift stones, turn them into dust. And as the great Hoos of Steel Stone says, the crusher in blood red, domination, we are domination. We clear cut the path. We don't follow anyone's. Dominate, obliterate, and dent everything in your path. No one will ever clip our balls. And as the great Russell Fur says, who's been listening to Eminem from the beginning, when I listen to your shows, I swear there's testosterone dripping out of my speakers. We will say that for the next 28 years, my friend. Also, too, John Ridge, my greatest college professor ever in business, repetition, repetition, repetition. My dad, be a leader, not a follower. Be a leader, not a follower. I read the opinion of others there before. Think about that. John Ridge, my chiropractor for years, who was like a father figure because I lost my dad long before John. And we lost John almost 3 years now this year in 2017. He'd walk every patient in the door and say, keep smiling. I dare you say that to yourself on your worst or best day and not smile. I am smiling right now. And John was a real man's man, and John would be very proud that I'm carrying on those two words for him. Be a steward of strength. Don't stand on the side of the road and watch the world go by. And tell 100 or more of your friends, because we're not going to knock on your door. We'll put our foot right through it. Join our family. Join our revolution. I'm telling you, the next 28 years of your life are going to be the most exciting you've ever experienced, because we are just going all the way, man. All the way. And also, too, as the great Les Brown says, you all have greatness, but we take it a little further, two steps further. We believe in you, and we got your back. And I don't know many people that would even do that in today's world, but we aren't like everybody else. That's why we are who we are. And, Jed, Happy New Year, brother. Glad to have you back. I hope 2017 is very fruitful for you in every way you can imagine, sir.
Yeah, buddy, right back at you, man. I hope it's a great year. You let me know when we're talking again, and I'll be here.
You got it. It's always a pleasure. So we'll have Jed on next month. When I hang up, I'll give him a date. So for Jed Johnson, this is Eric Fiorello. We will have this show up as soon as I can get it up, and it will be as quick as I can. So everybody, it's only Tuesday. You got many more days to make good, and you got a whole year ahead. Look to the future. Do something special for somebody out there, but most of all, treat yourself well and think about your health. We'll talk to you soon, everybody. Thanks for listening.
Thanks so much for listening to Motivation and Muscle, the podcast that connected your brain to your brawn. We'll see you next time.